Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And on today's show, I have with us Bert Gezzi, a popular author and speaker. He's written 20 books, including Voices of the Saints and Mystics and Miracles. He appears frequently on EWTN programs, earned his PhD from the University of Notre Dame, is an active member of St. Mary Magdalene Catholic Church, and lives in Florida. Today, we'll be talking about his book, The Angry Christian, A Bible-Based Strategy to Care for and Discipline a Valuable Emotion. Bert, welcome to the show.
Well, Pete, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So this book is a reissue for you, and how can it help today in light of the recent developments that we see happening in the church in regards to the abuse crisis?
right to the quick, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this book shows people how to use anger wisely. And there's a lot of anger, a lot of justifiable anger out there about the sex abuse crisis, and a lot of anger, and we'd like to be able to do something about it. So I suggest that one of the ways to deal with anger is to channel it. You know, you can anger has a reaction, and it has a behavioral response. And we scripture does not say much about the flare up. It talks more about what you do with the anger when you feel it, and you can express it well. You can express it with a tone of voice. You can express it carefully. But one of the main ways to express anger is to channel it into something like a good behavior. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we can help people who are concerned about doing something about the sex abuse crisis. You know, we're angry about it. We like to do something. We don't know what to do. Well, I think people can channel their anger into determination. We can determine, for example, to do several things. Do you want to take time with that right now, or do you
sure
want to wait
thing.
For?
Let's do that.
All right. Well, okay. People can be, first of all, determined to stay in the church. A lot of people who are angry want to leave, but right now is a time when people ought to stay, and we should be determined to stay so we can help the church respond properly at a time when there's a crisis. So determination number one, channel anger into determination to stay. Determine to pray daily, for the healing and recovering of victims who have been damaged by others, by the priests. And pray daily for the repentance and discipline and reform of the abusers and for the bishops who covered up. Determined to do penance, for the renewal and reform of the church, to repair the damage that's been done. And we can do things like, you know, find some way that we can fast for a day, a week, from either food or from the internet or from cell phones or from TV or from something that we can give up as a way of doing penance. We can determine to do spiritual warfare. You know, the crisis is so big and so vast and so ugly, it looks like to me like a diabolical plot of some kind. Mm-hmm. So we can do spiritual warfare. We have the authority of sons and daughters of God. We can command Satan to cease and desist and to stop what he's doing and to... And one way I think we can do this is we can daily pray for the crisis, the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, which I think is a good way to do spiritual warfare. We can determine to support our good priests. You know, most priests have lived in the shadow of this crisis, and they're looked upon as, you know, as bad because of the priests that have done wrong. We should pray and support these priests. We should take time to encourage them. Do we have them out for coffee or dinner or something and give them the support of our service? And we should ask the Lord, determined to ask the Lord in prayer, to get the Pope to schedule a review of the whole crisis by professional lay people who can do forensic investigation so that the truth comes out.
For sure.
And we should finally determine to pray that God will show us what else we can do. So channeling our anger into determination to do something about it, and here's some specific things you can do, mm-hmm. that's what I think we can do in the current situation.
That's a great advice there. Now, in the book itself, as we go through today's talk together, we're going to look at anger. And in the book, you suggest that anger was given to us as a gift from God. How so?
Well, anger is a part of the normal equipment we have as human beings. You know, we have all kinds of things that are normal pieces of our life. We have desires, we have eyesight, we have, you know, hands that can do things. Well, anger is an emotion that we've been given for a good reason. It's been given as a reason to help us to get through difficult situations. And so if we use it wisely, it's a gift. It's mostly a gift. It's only a problem when we abuse it, and that's something that we've learned to do pretty badly. So we have to learn how to value it as a gift, discipline it properly, and use it wisely.
And to build off that question also, the next one I'm about to ask, it would seem that these two things are at odds with each other, and that is the possibility for us to be good and angry at the same time. So how do those two mesh?
Well, it's possible to be good and angry because anger in itself is a good. If I use it wisely, I can. If I do it intelligently and wisely, I can be good. So, for example, anger has, as I said earlier, it has a flare up and a reaction. Now, if I express my anger under control and express it against something evil, then it's good. If I let anger get control of me and lose my temper, or if I use it against something good, then it's bad. So anger, we can be angry and good if we discipline our anger to express it under control in a way that achieves something against something evil. But if we use it against something good, or if we let it get out of control and controlling us, it's bad. So, for example, suppose somebody. Well, let me give you a good example. I have many years ago, I was a part of a group, and a friend of mine said, "Hey, Bert, I'd like you to come with me tonight. I'm going to speak to a young man about some things he's doing wrong, and I want to correct him. And will you come with me?" So I went with him, and my friend laid out the situation with the friend young man, told him what he was doing wrong, and asked him to repent, and the young man refused. And so my friend, under control, expressed vigorous anger, saying things like, "I'm so angry with you I could spit, and once again you're refusing good advice that would help you reform your life." Well, you know, that was an expression of anger under control against something bad. The young man refused to listen to him. But the next day, I saw him doing the very things that the man asked him to do. So you can accomplish something good by directing anger against something bad. However, if you direct it against something good, it's a problem. So here's another example. Suppose a pastor and a pastoral council are looking at the Mass schedule, and they say, if we move the 8 a.m. Mass on Sunday to 9, it will help all our many young families with children. And they surveyed the parish. They looked hard at it. And one day they announced, after a long prayer and discussion, we're going to move the 8 o'clock Mass to 9 beginning next month. On the first Sunday of the month, we're going to be having the no 8 o'clock Mass anymore, Mass at 9. And when that announcement was made, a man who was a big donor in the parish, who had been going to the 8 o'clock Mass for 30 years, was furious, stomped out of church, challenged the pastor, wrote a letter to the bishop, and expressed, condemnatory anger about it. Well, he was, acting in anger against something good, and that was a bad use of it.
Those are both good examples. Also in the book, you point out that the Bible may seem to support the conviction that anger is sinful, and you suggest that this comes...
and evil,
right.
Or they did it badly.
Right. And you're suggesting in the book that this comes from a misreading of Scripture. Can you explain that?
Well, some people think it's, Scripture in some places condemns anger. There are places in Ephesians and Colossians and in Galatians where St. Paul lists anger with a whole group of other very, very bad evils. He lists it with, things like drunkenness and fighting and carousing and sexual sins. He says, let anger and all these things be put away. Well, it sounds like Scripture is condemning anger. And he even, there are a couple places in Ephesians and Colossians where it says, put away all anger. Well, the anger that Paul's talking about in those cases is really anger out of control. When he lists anger along with those bad evils in Galatians chapter 5, it's clearly anger that's not ordinary anger that we might express. It's anger that's viciously out of control. And then when you read the whole Scripture, the whole picture of Scripture about anger, you can see that it's anger is properly approved. Ephesians says, be angry but sin not. And then you see in the life, you see in the example of God the Father, Jesus, and St. Paul, that they got angry and used it wisely. So, for example, the Old Testament is full of examples of the wrath of God. And that's a pretty strong expression. Except when you understand the wrath of God, it really is not God getting into a snit. It's God using his anger to direct his people away from their sinful behavior back into a relationship with him. So it's really an act of love. Bishop Robert Barron says the wrath of God is really God's love redirecting his people. He even says, and jokingly, we should have parishes called the Wrath of God. Can you imagine a teenager on the phone saying, hello, Wrath of God, how can I help you? So God the Father got angry, not in an angry snit like we get, in using anger as an act of love. Jesus himself used anger. My favorite passage is not the cleansing of the temple. My favorite passage is in Mark chapter 3, where Jesus is confronted by Pharisees and Herodians who are out to get him. They were out to get him from the very beginning of his ministry. And so they were following him around and watching what he did. And so on one Sabbath, he comes into the synagogue, and there's a man there with a withered hand. And he calls him up to the center, and he says to the Pharisees and Herodians, on the Sabbath, is it good to do good or to do harm, to save or to kill? And they are quiet. He looks around at them, it says, with anger. And he tells the man, stretch forth your hand, and he was healed. And at the end of that passage, the Pharisees and Herodians go out and look for a way to kill him. So you see, they were out to get him. Jesus was in a difficult situation facing these opponents, and he used anger as a way of getting through it. So that's a good use of anger that he did himself, that Jesus himself did. And then St. Paul, when St. Paul is angry, his letters blister with anger. It's almost smoke with it. When the Galatians, who were baptized in the Spirit, who were living a life in the Spirit, were told by some folks that they needed to stop and they needed to be circumcised and be under the law before they could be Christian. Well, Paul was absolutely furious. He said, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who's been deceiving you? Did you receive the Holy Spirit or not? I wish those who were deceiving you would mutilate themselves." You know, you could almost see the sparks flying in that letter. So the God the Father, Jesus himself, and St. Paul used anger, and the scriptures say be angry, but don't sin. Keep it under control. So it's not that scripture supports the suppressing anger. Scripture encourages using anger wisely.
For sure. And we're going to get into that suppressing of anger in a bit. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Do you ever feel caught in an endless cycle of working harder and longer to get more while enjoying life less? The Stewart family did, and they decided to make a radical change. Popular Catholic blogger and podcaster Haley Stewart explains how a year-long internship on a sustainable farm changed her family's life for the better, allowing them to live gospel values more intentionally. Stewart will inspire you to live simply, develop a sense of wonder, be intentional about technology, and center your life around home, family, and relationships. Check out The Grace of Enough at AveMariaPress.com or look for it wherever books and ebooks are sold.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and today we have with us Bert Gezzi. We're talking about his book, The Angry Christian, A Bible-Based Strategy to Care for and Discipline a Valuable Emotion. And Bert, we left the last segment briefly touching on this, but you discuss in the book looking at the habit of suppressing anger, and we find that this is not necessarily a good habit, is it?
Well, a lot of people have had a bad experience with anger, losing their temper or using it poorly, and they feel like that the way to deal with it is to push it down. They feel a flare-up of anger, and it may be because of the way their parents refused to let them get angry or some bad experience with anger, they suppress it. But suppressing anger does not deal with it. In the book, I say, well, you know, it's as though, for example, a man came home from work, found a tiger in the house, and decided the way to deal with it was to lure it into the basement, push a refrigerator up against the door, and confine that, you know, push the anger down into the tiger down into the basement. Well, he thinks it dealt with it, but it didn't deal with it at all. The tiger roars around the basement, looking for a way to break out, and ultimately it does. Well, anger, it works the same way with anger. If we decide to push it down, it doesn't deal with it. It continues to roil around in us, and it affects us personally, and looks for a way to break out in some other form. It could break out in resentments. It could break out in depression. It could break out in cold anger, giving the cold shoulder. And sometimes it could even do serious damage to us. I taught at a state college for 7 years, and one day I was grading exams, and a young man had written a very fine essay on the French Revolution. But I didn't know him. I took pride in knowing my students, and I didn't know why I didn't know this young man. So I invited him to come for an appointment at the office. And after meeting him a number of times over a year or two, he was very shy, hardly talked at all, even in those meetings. I discovered, I think, by getting some clues, that he was very, very angry with his dad, and I think he suppressed it. And I think that suppression damaged his personality. He could not behave normally in social settings. I think he needed professional help. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to hold a job or relate to people or, get married and raise a family. He would be very, very withdrawn and strange, actually. So suppressing anger can do something bad to you.
So there's also this idea that expressing anger can actually be a loving thing to do. How so?
Well, it depends upon how you do it. So, for example, you can, as long as you don't let it get out of control, you can use the anger, for example, as my friend did in the last segment, as my friend did to correct somebody who needed correction. You know, the anger actually produced a change in that young man, and therefore got him to repent of his bad behavior and reform his life. So anger can anger expressed properly can be a loving action for somebody.
Mm-hmm. In the last segment, you gave some examples of Christ and anger, particularly in Mark, and we also touched upon the writings of St. Paul. And I'd like to get a little bit more into Paul's writings because, as you said, they're pretty full of instances of anger. So can you give us some examples out of Paul's own writings where he talked about anger and how it can be good?
Well, he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4 where he says, "Be angry, but sin not, and don't let the sun go down on your anger." He means that if you express anger appropriately or inappropriately, suppose you express inappropriately in a relationship, if you get angry with somebody, you need before the sun goes down, you need to repent for the loss of control and repair the damage that you might do. I'm not aware. You know, there are several places I've cited them in Ephesians, Colossians, and Galatians where he specifically talks about putting anger aside, but he means vigorous expressions of anger. I'm right now, my brain is not showing me any other places where he talks about it. Maybe you've got some in your mind.
Well, what I'd like to do is go through that. Towards the end of the book, you talk about the threefold strategy for diffusing anger, and Paul gets into that, and you touched upon it there a little bit. So I wanted to step through that and give people some insight into what you cover there. And the first thing that you talk about is do not suppress anger and Paul's teaching to be angry. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, whenever anger flares up, it's okay to express it. You have a twofold response. Anger flares up, and you respond to it by your behavior. And so if you express it appropriately, you can use it well. Now, it doesn't always get expressed by raising your voice or a tone of voice. You can express it by channeling it into other behaviors. You can express it by channeling it into something like I did earlier, into determination to, mm-hmm. To accomplish something important. So you can channel the anger, express it that way. But do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. Meaning, when you express it, you need to express it under control. And as I said earlier, you need to express it against something bad and not let it control you and express it against something good. And you don't express anger for something that's just something that gets on your nerves. You know, you mm-hmm. don't express anger because you're irritable about something. And then if you do really lose your temper and express anger in a wrong way, you need to repair the relationship as quickly as you can. I've learned to do that myself. I might give you my worst example as an illustration here. In 2011, after 9/11, my wife and I were flying out of the Orlando airport to go to Pittsburgh, and we got into the line. Now, of course, in Orlando, the terrorists were trained nearby, so some of them were. And so they were checking very rigorously. So we got in this long line, got to the end of it, and they asked for our driver's license, and I gave them mine. And my wife said, "Oh, I didn't bring mine. I didn't think I needed it." I hit the ceiling, shouting at her, jumping up and down, dancing around that she didn't bring her license to the airport at a time when we were checking for terrorists at 9/11. So I really abused my anger at that time. I had to go home and get her license with her and bring her back, and it really took me a long time to repair the damage I did. I should have done something different. I should have said, "Mary Lou, I'm angry that you didn't bring your license. It's going to cause us a lot of trouble. We're going to have to go home and get it." I should have given her a chance to say something rather than shouting and jumping up and down. So I abused the anger, but I quickly began to repair it that day before the day was over. It took her a little while to get back into a calm relationship with me because I really was nasty. So You express your anger appropriately. You don't sin, but if you do sin, you repair the damage right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's the approach.
And that the second step is where you talk about expressing anger righteously in Paul's teaching to not sin. It seems today in the current news cycle here, at least the last couple month or two, particularly on social media, that anger button's hit really quick. And people don't think things through before they go ripping off a post or commenting on someone's comment. What advice can you give people to try and help us check that initial reaction for spouting off in anger?
Well, I think if people begin to train themselves to apply the biblical approach, they will take time before they react. What's happening now is that people aren't even thinking about using anger wisely; they're just spouting off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's encouraged by the social media, and I think that's very dangerous. But I think if one of our listeners wants to use anger appropriately, they will just say, okay, I'm going to train myself to use anger under control. And it may take some time to say, I'm getting angry, how am I going to respond to it? Am I going to express it calmly? Am I going to channel it into something like determination or patience, or how am I going to respond? After a while, and they put themselves under that training, and they're praying about it, they will spontaneously, instinctively respond appropriately. You're not going to be able to change the way people vigorously respond on the social media.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to change the people that we're talking to.
For sure. All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll come back and talk about the third step and some other things from the book, The Angry Christian. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Today we have with us Bert Gezzi. We're talking about his book, The Angry Christian. And Bert, within the book, one of the things you talk about is how anger can strengthen our Christian character. So, in essence, how can anger essentially lead us to holiness?
Well, the way, people who have bad experience with anger would like to see a change. I'd like the anger to change, and I believe the way to make a change, of course, is to understand that when we are baptized and we are changed by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know the old man dies, and we become a new men and women, and in that death, in that change, the whole person, the whole being, experiences change, including our spirit, our mind, our heart, our will, and our emotions. So the anger the Holy Spirit working in us can help us change the way we respond to our anger. And so the way we can experience that is by asking the Holy Spirit to be more fully released in our life. We can ask Jesus to release the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit we received in baptism and confirmation can be released in us more fully. And we can then say, okay, Lord, I need help with my anger. And that anger can be channeled by that grace of the Holy Spirit into good behaviors. So, for example, we can channel our anger into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit listed in Galatians chapter 5 and other places. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, goodness, self-control, compassion, mercy, forbearance. All these things are behaviors. You know, we tend to think of the fruit of the Spirit as feelings. And they include a feeling, but they're not primarily feelings. They're primarily behaviors, because if you look at Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit are antidotes to bad behaviors like drunkenness and fighting and sexual immorality and all kinds of things that are where involve others in some kind of bad behavior. Well, if you channel your patience, if you channel your anger into patience, for example, you are doing something positive. Patience is not a feeling. Peace is not a feeling. Patience is a behavior that enables you to get through something that's difficult. So, for example, back at the college where I was teaching, I had a student, and Michael was a new Christian who had an anger problem in his youth, and he enrolled in an anthropology class, and the students found out that the anthropology professor loved to mock Christian students, and Michael tried to defend the Christian faith against the professor, so the other students knew he was a Christian, and one day he lost his temper, shouting a response, and the kids loved it because here was a Christian misbehaving in class. So he decided what he would do instead of mouthing off angrily. When he got angry at the professor, he would channel into patience to endure through the class. And what happened was he spent the next 12 weeks after that happened getting angry, of course, but patiently enduring what was happening, and got a decent grade in the class. And tell the other students, if you want to talk to me about things, talk to me outside of class, where he could, you know, not have to show any kind of anger in class. Well, he channeled his anger into patience, which was a good behavior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you can channel your anger into other, we talked about channeling anger into determination at the beginning section of the interview. And you can channel into something like peace. You know, peace is not just a good feeling. Peace is really putting relationships right. Peace puts an end to fighting. So if you're in a disagreement with somebody and you get angry, you can channel your anger into some kind of peaceful response that repairs or protects the relationship rather than destroying it. So, you know, so you can channel your anger into good behaviors. And these behaviors, which are fruit of the Holy Spirit, are the characteristics of Jesus, really. They're good behaviors, and when you channel your behavior into things like patience, generosity, self-control, peace, you are channeling your behavior, your anger into the characteristics of holiness. You are contributing to your being holy. You're contributing to your call to be a saint.
Another thing I found interesting in your book, and I'm going to quote this, you say, for many of us, anger doesn't serve us, but enslaves us. And then you go on to talk about, you know, many people consider anger as the shadow that hangs over them, that enslaves them. But then you also talk about Christians should consider anger as their servant. So how do we get through that thought process to get to that point?
Well, I think we have to understand that as Christians, when we're baptized, we share the authority of Christ as you know, prophets and priests and kings. So we have a kind of authority. So we can exercise authority over our angry behavior and discipline it by putting it under control. And therefore, as we discipline it, instead of it being a slave master that we have to respond to and respond angrily and vocally and vigorously, we can put it under control and have it become our servant. So the more we apply the biblical approach to anger, expressing it under control against evil and expressing it without letting it control us, it becomes more and more something we do instinctively. And the more instinctive it becomes a servant. So anger can be transformed from controlling us to serving us.
And another interesting area of the book that you talk about is, you know, self-help books are all the rage these days. You walk into a bookstore, there's a whole aisle or two or even three of them. For those needing help controlling their anger when it happens in a bad way, you propose that they need more God help than self-help. Where can they find the God help, and why is that so important?
Well, I dare say they can read my book, but I won't say that. The God help is really the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've talked about that already in the segment there. If you yield to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to work in your life and have Him help you channel your anger into a good behavior, that's the God help. And you can learn some things from the self-help books that help you control your anger. There are some good books out there that offer some ways to keep anger under control. So most of them just don't have the whole answer. Most of them have a partial answer, and we need the God help to make the answer complete.
Right. I want to do another quote from the book, and this to me was a very powerful couple sentences here, and it goes like this. Our hope springs from the knowledge that the Holy Spirit acts as our partner as we pursue human and spiritual maturity. We could apply all our willpower and only make our anger worse. But the same Spirit who comes from the one who raised the crucified Jesus to life works in us. End quote. I think that's very telling of how the Holy Spirit can help us get through that problem, that obstacle.
Well, you see, willpower is a wonderful gift, but willpower on its own doesn't have got enough oomph to keep our anger under control. So we need to engage the Holy Spirit in our life. And what I think is that, we have to step back from anger. Every good Catholic, every good Christian should be living a daily life in the Holy Spirit. We should be giving our in our daily life, we should be expecting the Holy Spirit to work in us, to lead us, to prompt us, to move us in the right direction, to draw us nearer and nearer to the Lord Jesus, keep us in a close personal relationship. So that if we're yielding to the Holy, God is after us. We need to respond to the Holy Spirit, who is trying to move us more and more into a close relationship with the Father and the Son. So we need to yield our life to the Holy Spirit every day more fully. And if we're doing that in the context of all of our emotions, we can use our emotions effectively, anger and fear and all those things that we have to respond to. So it's living a life in the Spirit that provides the context for engaging our will properly in our emotional life.
Excellent. We're going to take one more quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way: buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land gift shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. We've been spending the day with Bert Gezzi, and we've been talking about his book, The Angry Christian. And Bert, let's go back to where we started somewhat, but how can using anger properly help us in this call for the new evangelization, first and foremost?
Well, we have to understand that, first of all, Catholics have to understand that evangelization is not an optional extra. When every baptized person, every baptized Catholic, has the obligation of sharing the faith with others and bringing others into the body of Christ. It's not something and we need to learn that that's true. You know, the popes and the catechism have made it really very clear that it's something that we must learn how to do, and I think Catholics have to learn about that because we're not really fully aware of our obligation, and that's something that has to happen through the understanding of the new evangelization. We need to be reading Pope Paul VI's Evangelii Nuntiandi. We need to be reading Pope Francis, you know, the joy of the gospel, so that we learn how, we learn about our responsibility. And I believe that anger, properly used, can help us, motivate us, and fuel our desire to do evangelization. And my model for it is Martin Luther King Jr., who says that a subliminal force of anger moved him all the way through his work for reaching racial justice in the civil rights movement. When Martin Luther King was had an experience when he was 14 that changed him. He was, as a 14-year-old, his teacher took him to a speech contest in a city some miles away from Atlanta. And of course, he won the contest. And on their way home, they had a 90-minute ride home on the bus. Excuse me. And they got on the bus. They got seats. When the bus stopped, however, shortly after they started, some white folks got on, and the bus driver vigorously, and using bad language, commanded Martin Luther King Jr. and his teacher to stand. And Martin refused. Until his teacher said, you know, Martin, we've got to stand, we've got to obey the law. So he stood, but he says later he was never angrier in his whole life at that point. So he steamed with anger the whole way home. And that anger stayed with him under the surface. But the anger against the racial injustice promoted and drove him to do his work for racial and social justice. Well, I think that anger appropriately used can be also fuel our evangelization. Not that we're angry with people who don't believe. We should be angry with those systems and those ideas and those worldviews that have contaminated people's minds. We should be angry at materialism, at secularism, at false views of reality that have captivated so many people's minds and materialism and have kept them apart from the Lord. So if we direct our anger against those systems, we can use that anger to help us engage people in a friendly way to draw them to Christ and to the body of Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, Bert.
Well, I was thinking, you know, we began our interview by saying that there's a high pitch of anger out there, mm-hmm. for all kinds of reasons. For Catholics, many of them over the horrific sex abuse scandal, and I think we feel anger, but we should direct it properly, but we can also lower it. I think that if we apply in our lives the biblical principles for expressing anger wisely and under control, we can lower the temper of or the pitch of anger in our own life. And the more people, if our listeners begin to anger lower in their by applying the biblical principles, can lower their anger, maybe we can contribute, I think, to lowering the pitch of anger in our society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're only, you know, I don't know how many people listen to Off the Shelf, but, you know, even if 100 people are listening or more, and they begin to lower their anger, I believe that can contribute in a more significant way than they realize, because God made starting small a spiritual principle. You know, most major things in the church, including the Christianity itself, started small. You know, God became a baby in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
St. Francis started, you know, small. St. Dominic started small with a few people, and then they became major movements that affected the whole church. And the beginnings of Christianity with Jesus being born and there being 12 apostles changed into, you know, billions of people being Christians. So we can make a big difference, I think, if we start small to reduce the anger, pitch of anger in our lives. And I encourage our listeners to do that.
Yeah, just good advice. And another thing in light of what's happening today, again, you alluded to it there in your response, there is a lot of anger out there, and there's a lot of disappointment as more of this unravels of perhaps the hierarchy letting us down. And I think what we need to do, and why your book is so timely right now, is now's not the time for the lady to necessarily go running to the cathedrals with pitchforks and flaming arrows. It's time for us to think smart we've been here before. We've had crises in church history before, and it's been the lady that's turned that around, and it's our opportunity to do that again, but we have to be smart about it.
And careful and wise and prayerful, I think, you know, so that we can be, as we started, we can be determined to do what we can by prayerfully applying wisdom to the situation, you know, praying for the priests and bishops, by opposing the devil, by doing penance to reform the church, by praying for the victims and the cover-ups. You know, we can do a lot just by using our anger wisely.
Correct. And another thing you alluded to there in the beginning was the diabolical nature of what we're seeing. And simply put, we need to tell Satan to go packing.
We need to apply our authority that we have and command him to cease and desist. And I recommended at the beginning that we can do that. We can command him to cease and desist. We have the authority to do that. And if we don't like commanding ourselves, we can pray the prayer to St. Michael every day for the situation.
For sure. So as we wind down here today, Bert, I want to thank you for stopping by the show. Do you have any other advice you can give us on the topic of anger?
Well, no, I think we summed it up pretty well. I think that I think anger is good. It's not always sinful. I think if we use it wisely, we can really get through difficult situations, and it can also help us to become successful in holiness and in our mission. So I think it's a valuable emotion that we can learn to discipline properly. So I encourage our listeners to do that.
Excellent. Where can people find your book, The Angry Christian, A Bible-Based Strategy to Care for and Discipline a Valuable Emotion?
Well, it's available from Paraclete Press at paracletepress.com, which is the publisher. You can go to my website, bertgesse.com, and click on it there. It'll send you to a place to purchase it. You can get it at bookstores. Any bookstore can get it for you. It's not in every bookstore, but it's in many. It's especially in Catholic bookstores, but you can get it. You can go to any bookstore and ask them to order it for you. So my recommendation, though, is that you try Paraclete Press or Amazon.com.
Excellent. Now, one last question. You've written 20-some books. Is there any other projects you can tell us about?
Well, I'm currently, yes, there's a new project. I'm bringing back at Paraclete Press a revised version of my book called Saints at Heart. Saints at Heart text describes 10 spiritual disciplines and illustrates them in the lives of saints. And in the course of it, I was able to use the lives of some of my very favorite saints so that people want to learn how to pray better, to be in community better, to love better, to be more joyful, things like that. It's a book they can read. It'll be coming out in the spring of 2019 from Paraclete Press.
Great. Well, Bert, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. I think that the key thing for all of us to do is to be praying and yielding to the Holy Spirit as a way of living our whole life fully for God. And in that context, we can be able to control our anger. Hey, and thanks for having me. It's been very interesting to be with you.
You're welcome. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.